This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, March 6, 2019, Ash Wednesday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Rend your heart and not your garments. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we hear the prophets say, rend your heart and not your garments, that doesn't mean you don't rend your garments anymore. It means to rend your heart more than your garments, not instead of. We live in times where we are told quite frequently that it's not a matter of doing things. You don't have to prove anything. That is a bold-faced lie. We do prove things. You don't have to prove too much to God because He is a searcher of your heart. But you prove things to yourself. And we prove things to ourselves by manifesting what we say we believe or what we say we feel. By doing this, we enter into Lent, in this time where we are manifestly, liturgically required, minimally anymore, but required nonetheless to, in some way, rend our garments. It let us never lose sight of the fact that the rending of your garment is anything close to what you should do in the rending of your heart. Our God is not satisfied with mere external proofs. It's just not a matter of what we do that gets it, because, I mean, then we could make it really look good. Yeah. Oh, I go to Mass on Sunday. Oh, I do this devotion. I do that. Like our Lord Jesus Christ says, you don't get a whole lot of traction over the things that you are seen doing. It's what's in here, what you do in secret, how you act behind the four walls of your house or when there's no other church people standing around. Then you are truly proving something. But again, not just to God, but also to yourself. Lent is a manifestation of two things. We always talk about God's grace, which is first and foremost, and then our cooperation with that grace. Lent is the story of God's compassion and our determination. We must have determination in overcoming the sins of this world, in which we all fall, whether they be just venial, like I said, just venial. Just venial sins have probably sent a whole lot of people to hell when they don't fix them. But God's compassion is manifest first and foremost before us. And when we see it, we should be determined to give Him honor and glory for what He has done for us and what He has provided for us to get that eternal destiny which we all desire. We do that by, in part, rending our garments, but most of all, rending our hearts. We do this in preparation for Easter. Everybody loves Easter, as well we should. Because what does Easter do? What is all this leading up to Easter? Easter is what our Lord Jesus Christ endured for us in order that we may have this eternal salvation which we desire. It is finished, as He said on the cross. That's over and done with. And now we must grasp in faith and obedience that which has been offered to us. This is what we do now during Lent. As I said, Easter, everybody loves it. Easter is so beautiful. Easter, why? Easter's festive. Hear alleluias all the time throughout the Easter season. We have to appreciate that Easter prefigures and is a symbol of the eternal bliss that we desire. Well, just as liturgically we have Easter to symbolize that eternal bliss, we also have Lent to symbolize what? The here and the now. That's what Lent is. It's a symbol of here and now. And here and now, if you know who God is, you know who you are before Him, is not pretty. How often we will go so far out of our way. As a matter of fact, St. Francis says that we go so far out of our way in this endeavor and that endeavor throughout our lives. And for what? For some little pittance of a temporal blessing, as our Lord Jesus Christ said to God, may have their reward. If we will do so much to get so little, how can we not, for several weeks, a year, a minuscule part of it, it's several weeks. You've got many more months than that to really basically do anything that you desire, which should also be occasionally rending our hearts and our garments before the Lord. But to understand what we do during Lent is to understand this walk that we're on. St. Philip Neri says that although it is good that we do these things during Lent, don't do this, do this extra, whatever it might be, all these things should be moderate in our attention to them, because the two things that we're supposed to be mortifying first and foremost, that's demonstrated through those practices, is mortification of our wills and of our understanding. Mortification of your will. What? Our will is unfortunately very, very self-absorbed. It is very, very self-indulgent. You know, you really look at it, even the things we pray for most often, what is it? Stuff that we want. Yeah. We don't really pay a whole lot of attention to that, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. We can't help it. That's not how we're wired. Do we want His will to be done, or do we want our will to be done? That's what I mean about our wills being self-indulgent. You mortify that when you start to acquiesce more to and submit yourself more fully to the will of God in your life, where we're not so keen on complaining about the things that happen to us in this life. And when they were, well, you don't understand, this is about, everybody has got their stuff where it's just so overwhelming. Nothing can overwhelm the grace of God. And we need to mortify our wills, because His will is better than ours. No matter what you desire, no matter how righteous it may be, if it doesn't work out the way you think, be assured that if you're a person of faith, that His will was done. It might be the opposite of what you asked for. Nonetheless, His will was done. We need to mortify our wills and start appreciating His more. We also have to mortify our understanding. This is intellectual. We don't get how holy God is. And we're never going to on this side of the veil. We don't know how holy He is. And we don't know how sinful we are. We don't like to think about that. We don't like to hear about that. We must, because that mortifies our understanding. What is mortification? Something that is painful. You mortify your understanding. It's painful to know how holy God is, because we don't act like He's that holy. We don't act like it even in here, much less out there. We don't understand how holy He is, and we also, as I said, don't understand how sinful we are. We are truly wretched. We deserve, and we will, return to the dust from which we came because of our shortcomings, both original sin and, first and foremost, actual sins that we commit. We must mortify those two things, our wills and our understanding. If you go through your Lent and you do the practices that you're supposed to do, you know, as minimal as they are, and I pray God you're putting more on yourself, actually have back in the back. It's so interesting to look at what used to be required from us and what is required of us now, which are no requirements at all, for all intent and purposes. if you take it to the next level, if you embrace these penitential works that you do, which are necessary, then the rending of your heart will happen by consequence. You will realize how weak you really are in front of bodily temptations. Yeah, we say, oh, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to give that up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then, oh, you know, 2 weeks into it. Sometimes it's a couple days into it. Oh, I couldn't do that. There you go. You learned something. Your understanding was mortified. You might not do anything with that, but at least you understand how weak you really are. This is what we need to understand before God. How weak we really are and how glorious He really is. This is Lent. This is a necessity. So all these practices that you, I pray God, put upon yourself over the next several weeks, if you drop the ball and you're, oh, it's over. Nope. You pick it back up and you move on. I can't do this. Well, you know what? Keep trying. Again, you'll learn many times. If you drop the ball many times, you will just understand how truly weak you are. And in that weakness, you understand that we embrace something that is much stronger than ourselves, because through prayer and through these practices, we will be brought closer to Him, and we will conform our will more to His, and we will understand Him better. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.